Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, the 13th day of September 2012. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura will be joining us to give us his take on election 2012 and beyond and talk about his new book, Democrips and Reblublicans. Governor Ventura, always great to have him on, is going to be joining us coming up today. We're also going to have open phones here, ladies and gentlemen. Throughout the broadcast on the state of the world. I mean, you can call in about whatever you want, but if you don't call in about the fact that the globalists are trying to gear up World War III right now to cover the engineered financial collapse, see, they're taking over economically, but politically they need a war, a global war, a multi-region war, as a political distraction to get people to rally behind the ongoing takeover. War is the health of the state, and all the analysts, all the journalists, all the researchers, all the economists, all the historians that we've had on, from Webster Tarpley to Chris Hedges, to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, to myself, to congressmen like Walter Jones, they all agree the system wants to start a new giant war as a political smokescreen. And who is the system? It is the six global megabanks that control the issuance of currency and credit, and who have created mega trillions, $1,500 trillion plus, and gotten governments to sign on to it. And then the media runs this Decepticon operation where they say, oh, this is your debt. And a small percentage of it is our debt, upwards of 15.5, 16 trillion. The U.S. Amount 3 years ago in the Washington Post. I was surprised when the Washington Post came out with this because it mirrored Tarpley's numbers that he'd come up with a year before that of $644 trillion of the 1.5 quadril, 1,500 trillion. So the derivatives are $644 trillion and growing. Since then, they've been leveraging it out even more. It's probably 800, 900, who knows, just our quote share. It's probably over 2 quadrillion now or more globally. Those are conservative numbers, very conservative numbers. So you've got $644 trillion, probably 800 trillion now, 800 trillion with a capital T as tyranny, sitting there telling us that it's our debt when we owe 15 plus trillion to the bankers. And it's, oh my gosh, our deficit's real big. Oh, our debt's real big. Oh, our trade balance, ooh, ooh, bad. Folks, none of that means anything compared to the 1,000 plus trillion the world has been signed on to. And the fact that if the dollar starts to go into a faster decline, it's already declining. But if it accelerates that decline, as it's starting to do, and boy, it will when they just have continued quantitative easing, they're saying, hey, we promised you no QE3. We're just going to have ongoing quantitative easing. So now it's QE3 and beyond. When that starts to kick in, Katie, bar the door. And if they don't do that, you'll just have a implosion of the economy and stagnation. So instead, they'd rather have stagnation and inflation, stagflation, or hyper-stagflation. The point is, we are headed into a situation where, you know, A, we're thrown into the fiery furnace, and B, we're thrown off the cliff. So it's kind of like you want to fall off the cliff. You know, that takes a little while to drop off the cliff with the hyperinflation. Or do you want to just be thrown right into the white hot fire? I tend to think the white hot fire is better because that's not what the bankers want, and it will bring all this to a head very quickly. Instead, they're just going to keep strangling us like a baby in the night with a pillow, very quietly. Oh, this won't take much longer. Instead of having an out in front of God and everybody else. So, we're going to break down the bedlam in the Middle East. We told you it was coming. And a lot more straight ahead. Big show lined up today.
You are either with the Republic or against it. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
It is so good to be here with you today. I am so honored to be speaking to millions of my fellow humans, not just here in the United States, Canada, Mexico, but into Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, Asia, Latin America, all over the world, from Antarctica to the Marshall Islands. People are listening to this worldwide transmission, and I, again, am extremely honored to be your host on this live Thursday, the 13th day of September, 2012 transmission. Again, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura to break down election 2012 and all the bedlam in the world. He'll be joining us coming up in the second hour today. Now, I'm going to open the phones up throughout this hour and with Ventura and into the third. I'm going to try my best to get to your calls in between all the news. But I would specifically, because we don't screen your calls except, you know, when I say on air that, hey, I'd like you to call in on this subject because it's the big subject. We need to focus on it. We've got a lot of other news to deal with, some good news, some bad news, some ugly news. But obviously, you've heard our guest on this show and myself predict the October surprise to stir up the jihadis and to put al-Qaeda into all these countries, and then to have the globalists who control them, not America, but the globalists who are also embedded inside our government, have them start murdering U.S. personnel and U.S. troops and European personnel and troops all over the world. They can punch a button, and al-Qaeda and other jihadi squads that have been allowed to operate in all our countries will start bombing things. And then that will be used to take all of our liberties. You see, people think it's America versus Iran, or it's Europe versus Syria, or no. It's global mega bankers financing all sides for conflict and bedlam so they can destroy once free societies. And again, before I get into this news, it's something a child can understand. Whenever Revenge of the Sith came out 10 years ago or whatever it is, time flies, when I guess it was about 7-8 years ago. Guys, look up when Revenge of the Sith came out for me, episode 3 of the cheesy Star Wars prequels. Not really a fan of those films other than the fact that they have important archetypes in them, but you have a senator on a little-known planet who finances a group to attack his planet over trade deals, came out in 2005, so 7 years ago. And then he uses that to become prominent in the Senate. Then he finances groups, terrorists, to attack the home world, what is it, Coruscant, as a pretext to then say that there isn't enough of an army, there isn't enough of a police state to stop the terrorist attacks. And so then he abolishes the old republic, basically using that, and then hunts down the old police force and wipes them out. Now, when the movie came out, the media all over the place said, we don't understand the plot. We don't know what this means. And George Lucas did interviews from the Cannes Film Festival and others. He said, what do you mean you can't get it? Criminal elements in the government are staging terror attacks as a pretext to take over society, just like we're seeing today. So he basically is a 9/11 truther, George Lucas. Love him or hate him, that's what he said. He said, just like we're seeing today. He said that at the Cannes Film Festival, go look it up, it was all over the news. And the news still played dumb and said, we don't know what this means, but children knew. Palpatine, the senator, is attacking himself as a pretext to build up an internal army to deal with the outside threat, but then he ends up using that internal army to sweep away the old republic and establish a tyranny. And that's what Homeland Security is. It's the foreign banker takeover system that says it's here to keep you safe and says it's here to keep you safe from al-Qaeda, while the globalists control al-Qaeda publicly. They controlled it when they created it in 79. They controlled it when they ran it against the Russians, when they ran it against the Serbs, when they've run it against Middle Eastern governments that are secular but want to have their own sovereignty. They want to wreck those countries. And they've wrecked Egypt. They've wrecked Libya. They're wrecking Syria. And they are going to wreck every country in the region but Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia will be left standing. Because that's British intelligence created with Lawrence of Arabia. It's not just a movie. It's a true story. They went out and got the Bedouins, gave them a bunch of machine guns and hand grenades, and had them take over the equivalent of about seven countries, and they called it Saudi Arabia. Because oil had been discovered there by Anglo-American Oil and the other big ones, Standard Oil. And this is all mainline history. This is not a secret. It's not something that people, you know, don't know who are informed. It's not debatable. It's like saying the Atlantic Ocean is to the east of the eastern seaboard. The Pacific Ocean is to the west of the Pacific seaboard. Okay? I mean, it's like saying the Pacific is the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic is the Atlantic Ocean, and the sun comes up in the morning. It is not a debate. There it is, Egypt. Al-Qaeda flag raised above U.S. Embassy in Cairo. Boom, there's the headline. Al-Qaeda flags raised over Libya, over the courthouses, all over Libya, in Tripoli, you name it, in Benghazi. They're now raising the Al-Qaeda flags, attacking on three sides, out of Jordan, out of Turkey, and other areas, pouring in with U.S. and British and Israeli troops, openly training Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is the main group. They're more than half the fires. Going in, literally chopping everybody's heads off, blowing up mosques, blowing up churches, blowing up everything, threatening to kill people's family if they won't go suicide bomb. This is what our government is. Our government is a group of lawless crooks who think that you're in a complete trance and won't even notice what's happening. They think you're so dumb, ladies and gentlemen. And there's going to be spillover while these crazed psychos, mercenaries, are just dumped into these countries. You're going to see U.S. ambassadors and people killed because that's the plan. It's meant to get out of hand. And now you've got this movie. There probably isn't even a movie. Paul Watson's got an article on it. It's just a trailer, just like, what was it, 5 years ago? They had the Prophet Muhammad cartoons and all these neocon-controlled newspapers in Europe ran it to antagonize the Muslims. And sure, it's wrong that you know, some of the Muslims can't deal with free speech. That's not a debate I'm having. The point is, it was meant to antagonize. It was artificially done. And now they're doing it again. Remember when France, large parts of it, burned when the Muslim population, what is it, 30% of France went out and then other hooligans joined large young Muslim population in burning and raping and other forms of rapine, all of that. And now we've got the Israeli flags being burned. We've got the American flags being burned. We've got Al-Qaeda flags going up. We've got all this happening. And I've been telling you, with our guest who've worked for the NSA, you name it, like Wayne Madsen, who's gone to Syria, gone to Libya, Webster Tarpley, who's gone to both places. Tarpley went to cities where people were being shot down the street from where he was at. I mean, Tarpley's a wild man. The point is, and this was all, I'm going to get Tarpley on tomorrow, by the way, this was all predicted here on this show, because it's not hard to predict. It is a clash of civilizations. They are getting ready for a worldwide financial meltdown and to have a giant war to distract everyone while that happens. I mean, look at this. U.S. sends two warships to Libyan coast. Fox News. Consulate attack. NATO stooge ludicrously points finger at Gaddafi loyalist. Here's the key article by Paul Watson at Infowars.com and PrizzlePlanet.com right now. Is Mohammed movie a contrived fraud? I've looked at it, yes. I mean, the way they promote it, going, rich Jews gave us $5 million to make this. The way the press release is written, the way no one knows who's behind it, it's meant to antagonize the Muslims. It's meant to antagonize, you know, kind of their wild redneck version of Muslims, to go out and say, you're not going to insult my God. I mean, it is pure manipulation, and the Muslims are taking the bait 110%. I mean, here's this PSYOP thing. Just like Adam Gadon, the grandson of the former head of the ADL, you know, becomes an Al-Qaeda leader and gets up there and says all this stuff, and then they upload his videos in the same video format with the Al-Qaeda bug and the Pentagon-funded Intel Center bug. That means it was produced the same place. Pentagon produced it. Of course they did. Intel Center's admittedly a Pentagon spinoff. It's got the adjunct of Rumsfeld under it. So that's what's going on. And so it's not even this film on YouTube. It's that the media is like, this film on YouTube's going to make the Muslims mad. Here, let's show you, you know, all this stuff putting down the Prophet Muhammad. And then it starts. And now Obama won't meet with Benjamin Netanyahu, but he'll meet with the head of the Muslim Brotherhood. All meant for everyone to go, oh, Israel's all by themselves, Israel. And look, they're burning our embassies down and killing our ambassadors. We've got to hit Iran. And the media knows the public's so dumbed down. They're now saying Iran is behind Al-Qaeda when it's NATO and Saudi Arabia literally arming and landing them. It's now in the news. Iran did it. Oh, Iran did it to our embassy. Oh, Iran has to be attacked. And people in our country and Europe are just like, well, that's their brown. Kill them. They did it. I mean, a pure and total setup. And hey, they won't stop there. What's the new Army report put out that made news a month ago? They claim the Tea Party is going to link up with Al-Qaeda. Oh, yes. There could be staged terror attacks, and they'll blame it on the Tea Party with Al-Qaeda. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. They don't care. They run Al-Qaeda, but then say Al-Qaeda's going to attack. They don't care. They announced they've killed the same jihadi sometimes 15 times over. They want to just confuse everything into a la-la land. When you understand that the globalists are waging war against humans, like they're an invading alien force from planet Pop-Tart, but they're not. But use that as the analogy. They want to destroy civilizations and only have high-tech reservations, high security zones, mainly in rural areas, but also in megacities controlled by them. Because in their own words, they want the technology all for themselves. They want the life extension. And I've worked on this for 2 weeks with Paul Joseph Watson. I basically record stuff, send him links. He does his own research, so we collaborate a lot because I don't have time to sit down and write the whole article. The End of Humanity, Rise of the Robots. I want to thank Watson for all his help getting these ideas and research out. The Elite's Plan for the Future Doesn't Include You. Just went hot. Just went live. We maybe show this on TV for folks. If you're a radio listener, just go to InfoWars.com. The End of Humanity, Rise of the Robots. The Elite's Plan for the Future Doesn't Include You, Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson. And it's got all the quotes, all the links, all of the admissions in it, many of the admissions. So very, very important information. We're going to be covering that more a little bit later. But please, like, let's red link that article. Please get that article and the first part in the series. This is the second part in the series. Yeah, we did one a few days ago, but it was so much we couldn't put it in one article. Get it out to people. Read it. I mean, if you care about the future, if you want to know what's going on, because the deeper we get down this road, the harder it's going to be to beat these people. They've thought this out well. They've moved slowly. They've adulterated the food, the water, the air. They've got their tech being wired into everything right now to surveil and control. They're already able to predict the future to a great extent with their data mining systems. I told you that a decade ago and got laughed at because I read it in MIT documents that were public. Now it's in the mainstream news. They can predict the future. They know where you're going to get gas, where you're going to pull over and eat. They know what porn you're going to look at before you consciously do. They are watching your every move with AI supercomputers. And they do not have your future and your prosperity in mind. They want you dead. For the globalist, world government is only the beginning. They want you dead. They want you dead. See Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, now 6 years old. You want to understand it. And what is the endgame.com? I'm already ranting off into that area. But the globalists hate our troops. That's why they have them use DU weapons that they know will soft kill them. That's why they inject them with experimental vaccines they know don't protect them from anthrax and smallpox that kill them on record until there's mass refusal. Then they have to back off. They don't care. Now they're just trying to make nurses take it in hospitals. All these jobs now where we need to put something in your body before you can work here, setting that precedent when Big Pharma and this whole system was set up by eugenicists. Is Muhammad movie a contrived fraud? Paul Joseph Watson. Bizarre story behind film that supposedly sparked Middle East unrest. An anti-Muslim film that has been blamed for the attacks on U.S. embassies in Egypt, Libya, and Yemen is likely a contrived fraud designed to stir up unrest in the Middle East while shielding the true reasons behind the murder of Ambassador Chris Stevens. And by the way, even the Jerusalem Post is saying this. Paul had his article out, and then I see this one here out today as well. And it says, officials doubt anti-Islam film creator's identity. I mean, it looks low budget. We would do a better job in one take here. You've seen the joke videos we do of Cobra Commander and, you know, Don Corzine and stuff like that, John Corzine. I mean, they're calling this was made with $5 million by rich Jews. I mean, you could just see MI6, CIA, Mossad. I mean, I'm sure they were all involved in the production. It may even be an outside merc group just laughing. Here, how do we stir these people up? Say we got $5 million from rich Jews. Meanwhile, they shot this on a blue screen, you know, in the back acres at Langley, Virginia. I mean, this is such a low budget piece of junk. $5 million my foot, not even $5,000. I could go to the costume shop. I could recreate this today. I could go over to the costume shop, but so we don't stir the Muslims up, I could say I was, you know, playing the part of, you know, Ooga Booga or something, but, you know, dress up that way and copy it word for word and have it out by tomorrow for $500, renting the costumes. I mean, this is ridiculous. And then I could come out and say, yeah, we got $5 million from rich Jews. Yeah, the Jews don't like Muhammad. Yeah, here's a video. We're not going to say who made it. So we can cause the Muslims to go out and try to kill a bunch of Jews so we can have World War III. I mean, how obvious does this have to get? But again, this propaganda is all targeted at people who are in a unconscious, dreamlike state. Wake up! Come alive! World War III wants to spread his wings. And they're letting the radical Muslims, jihadi al-Qaeda's, have fun, murder some Christians, kill some Jews, blow up some mosque of Shiites, get a civil war between Shiites and Sunnis going, and then pump in some Western troops to get killed while you're at it, while the politicians sit back and say, see, the TSA needs to be at highway checkpoints because al-Qaeda works with the Tea Party. That's what the Army's being taught. If you're a new listener going, what? Just type in Army training. Army training plan predicts Tea Party insurgency. And in it, oh, the Tea Party, those evil people that want freedom and lower taxes, pro-family. Oh, they're with al-Qaeda. Absolutely amazing to have all this going on. Toll-free number to join us. Are you concerned about these issues? 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. You know, you see how people like Obama, he gets the peace prize. He's against war. But there's more wars under him than under Bush. They just don't call them war. They call it love bombs, humanitarian help. Oh, Al-Qaeda's lining up the black Libyans and blowing their heads off. Oh, they're killing the Muslim minority groups. Oh, they're killing the Christians. Isn't it just cute? Oh, they're blowing up churches. Isn't it just cute? Isn't it just fun? All of this going on. While telling you, we've got to search at the airport because Al-Qaeda might be in there, might be in your carry-on luggage, might be in your underwear. But, oh, our government funds Al-Qaeda. And now we knew that this was coming. DHS warns Muslim Brotherhood and Iran forming new terror axis. The Muslim Brotherhood is working with Iran. Really? Even though the two groups have been at loggerheads. And then it continues here. We have reports coming out from CNN, you name it, where Obama is to meet with the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, but not with Benjamin Netanyahu. So Al-Qaeda is working with Iran, which is totally made up and ridiculous. Iran is Shiite. They're Sunni. And now the group that DHS says is working with Iran is meeting with Obama. No, it's the other way around. And again, I'm not saying Iran's good either. It's just the globalists are playing all sides off against each other, just like they're playing it off against our country and Europe as well to take everybody's liberties. Oh, but here it is. U.S. deploys drones, destroyers, and hunt for killers of Americans in Libya. Oh, they've got to invade Libya now to deal with the Al-Qaeda that they gave weapons in Benghazi a year and a half ago. And the U.S. Special Forces trained. Oh, isn't that just special? And there's more violent protest, more American flags being burned down. And people are just kind of halfway paying attention. And they think, oh, well, everything's fine. Everything's okay. Because at least the government is taking our liberties to keep us safe from Iran and that dirty Al-Qaeda. Because those of us that are informed have to remember that this is cartoonish to us and over-the-top ridiculous. But to the general public, if you know your state's capital, they think you're showing off. The general public, if you know how to tie your shoelaces, you're a valedictorian. The general public, if you don't drool while seated, you know, they see you as, I mean, literally, I see wannabe intellectuals with newspapers in public showing off that they're reading newspapers or showing off that, you know, that's like upper crust. If you know the three branches of government, oh my gosh, you're like some type of brainiac. And these so-called executives and people I run into, they watch the news, they regurgitate the talking points and then feel like they're smart. Instead of actually knowing that itself is a spectrum of disinformation. So the general public doesn't even watch the news and has no idea even what's going on. They just see some brown people burning American flags and, you know, are told TSA needs to funnel them to make sure everything's safe. And then you've got people that actually watch the news who think they're real informed. And that's a bunch of deceptive, twisted pap. And then you've got, you know, the kind of the politico types who are just jockeying for political control and to climb the ladder. And then you got those of us that are informed and just don't want to be slaves. So it's on, folks. U.S. sends two warships to Libyan coast to deal with the Al-Qaeda they put in charge. And there's now 10,000 missiles missing, as you know, with 2,000 of them heat-seeking or radar-guided. And, oh, we got to have checkpoints on the highways now. They're actually saying that. Well, the TSA needs to have checkpoints randomly because there's some missiles loose. We need to search all your vehicles because we gave missiles to Al-Qaeda. And the average person hearing that can't even find Libya on a map. I've seen jaywalking episodes where people can't even find the U.S. on a world map if it doesn't have the name on it. I mean, it is a joke. It is a joke what this country's turned into. And it's television. You turn on television, all of it is a destructive message. The new normal. And people are like, oh, don't you be anti-alternative lifestyle. That isn't even on my radar screen. But you know what? My kids can't watch television because you want to confuse them. Every time I turn the television on at night to see what's on, it's anti-male, anti-family, pro-abortion, anti-gun, pro-big government. They're to screw people up. trying to make sure that people get confused, trying to make sure. And what did the government documents, Club of Rome and others, said? They said they would promote homosexuality and all this and in the family, so no one had families to stand together, and so that the government could control new coalitions of government families and sexual orientation families that is then refereed by the system. And so you don't have children, so you reduce population. I mean, Europe can't even have 1.3 children for every two adults. They're dying. Russia can't even have 1.2 children. Japan can't even have 1.3. Italy's down to, what, 1.1? All the old cultures are absolutely dying by design. Because people are taught, oh, no, have fun. You'll be fulfilled. Don't have children. Don't get married. Or if you do, marriage is hellish. Children are horrible. Old people are gross. Don't take care of your parents. Euthanize them. When meanwhile, family and children and the true order of human development on this planet is what is fulfilling. It's everything. All the blessings are right there. And the statistics show it. These people that follow the alternative lifestyles, they have the lowest life expectancy. They have the highest suicide rates. They are in living neurotic hells. I don't sit there and hate you because of what you do sexually. I am angry at the globalist for going in and trying to program you and putting chemicals in your food that in thousands of studies cause every mammal species to become bisexual. And then the media gets mad about that and runs national stories about Alex Jones says juice boxes make you gay. Actually, I said juice boxes give you breast cancer and testicular cancer because they cause them to artificially age. And, of course, now that's all admitted, but it was in the studies. You see, this is chemical warfare. Am I upset that amphibians have two sexual organs once they're exposed to this? Is it because I'm freaked out by the sexual organs of a frog? No, I'm not freaked out by the sex. It's not, oh, my gosh, oh, I'm this square who... No, I know scientifically that the amphibians and the fish and other species are getting cancer and having multiple sexes and becoming sexually confused. There's another article, lead found in juice boxes in high levels. You need microscopic amounts of lead and things and mercury, but that's if it's bound in a natural form, not the artificial forms. It's like the fluoride they put in the water has been manipulated to where it's totally acidic and literally thousands of times more powerful. What is it? They removed an electron. But I'm already digressing here, ladies and gentlemen. They count on your ignorance to sell you this evil. Okay, continuing here, my friends. We got Jesse Ventura coming up. We have a lot of other important news that we're going to be getting to here today. Again, here's that headline. Unreal. Obama invites Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood president to meet next week, refuses to meet Netanyahu. Again, this is to get the Muslims stirred up as much as possible to have the green light, the radical ones, to just literally burn and pillage the Middle East. And then everybody will say, oh, we got to go in. We got to hit Iran. I mean, it's just all a bunch of theater. Right on time. And no one will even remember or point out that Western governments got this started, got the Arab Spring going, and Tunisia, you name it, stirred the whole thing up from the beginning. Here's another headline from Michael Snyder at Infowars.com. Thanks again, Obama. The terrorists you use to topple regimes are now attacking our embassies. Well, yeah, all part of the media theater, all part of the manipulation. Now, coming up later in the broadcast, we have a special report. Is Ron Paul going to run for governor of Texas? Our very own reporter, David Ortiz, is going to be investigating that. We also have Jakari Jackson's report on federally funded blood-taking checkpoints popping up everywhere. He went down and interviewed the local police on that subject. And Dan Bondi goes out and talks to Americans on the streets of Austin about their knowledge of the Constitution. All of that will air here on the broadcast today after Jesse Ventura joins us. But right now, let's go ahead and go to Tim in Maine. You're on the air, Tim. Welcome.
How you doing, Alex? First, I'd like to say I'm a big fan. I really enjoy your show. And I have a suggestion, an idea, that Ron Paul shouldn't run for governor. We should do a write-in campaign. You, your listeners, everybody we can get in touch with, just write Ron Paul's name in. If nothing else, if we can't get him as president, it'll show him that we're not stupid. We don't want your choices anymore. We want our choices.
Now, I hear you. Listen, did you hear me ask callers if what their take is on the attempt to start World War III?
I did not.
Okay, I appreciate your call. I appreciate that. Again, we don't screen your calls, but sometimes I say, hey, we're opening the phones up. I said like five times, what's your take on the situation in the Middle East? Do people realize the magnitude, the scale of the fact that this is meant to bring in Russia and others? I mean, this is a big deal. World economy imploding, all of it. Hyperinflation starting to raise its head. I'm going to go back to your calls. I'm not mad at the caller. Since you bring it up, let's just digress now. Hell, we know nobody's going to call in about World War III anyways. Nobody cares about that. Here's the deal. I initially, whenever Rand Paul endorsed Romney enthusiastically, got really upset. And it was because I'd watched Jesse Benton behind the scenes not go after Romney. And that's now been admitted by Doug Weed, you know, top of the campaign, that was Jesse Benton's decision. Jesse Benton can hardly talk, folks. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that, I mean, he's not that smart. But Jesse Benton said so. And again, you got to blame Ron Paul in the final equation for that, okay? Because really, I've just got to be honest about this. I'm done talking about Ron Paul. I'm done talking about any of it. I still think they're good guys overall. I think, you know, Rand's doing some good work in the Senate overall. But if people call in about Ron Paul, you're not going to get the responses you've got from me in the past, okay? You don't want to go there with me, okay? Because I know too much, all right? And I don't, see, I already said mean things about Jesse Benton. He doesn't matter. I said 2 weeks ago, you watch, he's going to go work for the mainline Republican Party, because I knew that from inside, okay? And now it's all over the news today that he's going to work for Mitch McConnell. So he basically, though, was just a scapegoat and an excuse for everything that went on. We've seen the video of it, Paul Fest, that was snubbed by the Pauls and everybody. We've seen the footage where Peter Schiff shows people the text from Jesse Benton saying, don't go to Paul Fest, it's extremist. And that's what I can't handle. It's one thing if the Pauls kind of get married off to the Republican establishment and try to influence it towards libertarianism and freedom in some way. I get all that to a certain extent. You can debate it either way. But the Jesse Benton talking and acting like the Southern Poverty Law Center or ADL, the things I've known have gone on behind the scenes the last few years, and all the things that happened. It's just very sad to see, after all this great work Ron Paul's done and that we've done supporting him, patriots out there, to just kind of see Campaign for Liberty and the whole political list of donors, because I now get solicitations from neocons. The list is out there. Has been given pretty much a list of my listeners. Because back 4 years ago, Ron Paul said on the show, half his donations and support came from this show. And it's not that, oh, I'm out in the cold or something because I don't, you know, just fall down and worship Mitt Romney. Because Ron Paul and them, they lose not being supported by you, by us. It's just that it's the headlong lust to call us extremist and behind the scenes, you know, try to sabotage Paul Fest. And then to see all those families, 10,000 plus people show up and all those rock bands and people out there pathetically worshiping Ron Paul and he didn't even show up. And then Jesse Benton's calling him extremist. And then Jesse Benton goes to work for Mitch McConnell. Here's the Washington Post today. Mitch McConnell hires Ron Paul aide to run his campaign. We're committed to running a presidential level campaign in Kentucky, and that starts with a presidential campaign manager, McConnell said in a statement. Jesse is literally the best in the business at building an organization, conservative grassroots movement. No, he's not. He's the best at going on my show and other libertarian and constitutional shows and getting our money and our support. And now he's taken that list over to the Republican Party and Mitch McConnell. That's what went on. Now, I'm done talking about this, and I'm not going to talk about Ron Paul anymore. When people call him with stars in their eyes, I'm about to throw up on the radio, okay? So just please don't do it. Don't do it. In fact, I know a lot more, folks, and I'm not going there. I want to forget about it, okay? I want to forget about it. And just, I like the Constitution. I like the Bill of Rights. I like people that support it. The Pauls got starstruck. Ron Paul got old. Whatever. They sailed off of the sunset, and they're hooked up with the Republican Party, and Jesse Benton's a genius, and I'm an extremist, okay? And you're an extremist, and all those families at Paul Fest are scum. I'm going to stand with those families, okay? Okay, that's who I'm with. I'm with the American people, not with Mitch McConnell. We'll be right back. I'm not going to crawl up his rear end. You know, if I ever talk about the Ron Paul issues, I want to do it professionally in a taped, prepackaged, you know, focused news piece. And I don't really see even any good in that, because Ron Paul and Rand Paul are not our enemies. They're our friends overall. But if somebody I don't know does me wrong, it's not personal. I don't get upset. That's just life. When we've worked and been passionate and defended and done so much for someone, and to watch them really turn their back on the liberty movement, but rope-a-dope, keep everybody going along like he was going to be president when Rand was already announcing, you know, 5 months ago that it was a done deal. Last time he was on this show, that things had already been decided. It was all just an exercise in capitalizing on a political list and raising money. And again, the whole thing piloted by Jesse Benton, but I can't morally just blame it on him. But then to see the venom towards Paul Fest, which was pretty milquetoast, a lot of mainline people there, you know, Lou Rockwell, folks like that there, Peter Schiff, you name it, and then to not have Ron Paul at that, and then not even have him show up, and then to learn Benton was calling them all extremists. It's just to know the people that brought Ron Paul to the party, brought Rand Paul to the party. I mean, I encouraged off-air and on-air Rand to run back when he was here in Austin visiting and didn't even have any politicos with him, you know, years before he even ran. I remember interviewing Rand Paul when his dad was running for Congress 17 years ago, when he was running again for Congress. He'd been out of Congress. And I remember interviewing him when he was out there, you know, promoting his dad. I remember interviewing him 10 years ago. It's just to see people totally become plastic and political, and then to have Benton calling us extremist, it's an insult. It's like, man, that's really nasty. I mean, I kind of understand going and trying to influence the Republicans and merging with that power structure, thinking you can work from within. I don't really agree with that overall, but I get it. I could forgive you that. But the nastiness, we don't see this type of nastiness except out of Democrats towards libertarians and constitutionalists and people. And kind of using ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, talking points, and now he works for Mitch McConnell. And McConnell's like, oh, we're hiring him because Jesse's the best. Really, Jesse's the best? You mean he's got the Ron Paul list of contributors and email addresses? And Jesse probably believes he's really this darling. And oh, Jesse, you're so smart. Here, come run our Senate campaign. So it's all about, as I said months ago, Jesse Benton being this big politico. And this big star, and all about him married to Ron Paul's granddaughter. So the Ron Paul revolution had to get derailed to a great extent because some punk married Ron Paul's granddaughter. I'm done. Don't call my show, folks, about Ron Paul. I don't ever want to hear about him again, okay? We don't ask him on the show. We don't want him on the show. Go hang out with your Republicans, because Ron Paul, I know you know about all this. I don't want, just, I'm done. You don't want us, we don't want you. Okay? We don't need you. We're not going to compromise. If I needed to sell out, I got an opportunity 10 years ago to be Glenn Beck. You understand that? Stupid book. I've turned down the biggest publishers in the country of book deals. All of it. It's all crud. It's all crud. All of it. All of it. They're about to start World War III. They're bringing in a world government. They got cameras in school bathrooms nationwide. I don't want to hear about Ron Paul ever again.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
You see, there's nobody telling me what to say or do. And I try to not infight or be nasty. And I tried to go to your phone calls if you just joined us, and I kind of went off on the whole Ron Paul thing because my feelings are hurt. I like the ideas of Ron Paul. I know he's a good man. He's never compromised. We still hear good things out of him, but we hear totally different stuff out of his campaign and the people that work for him. And Rand is drifting more and more, and it's just very, very painful. And I tend to want to scapegoat and just blame Jesse Benton because he is an unsavory, terrible person. But I don't want to talk about it anymore. We got serious news here. Ron Paul's not our enemy. It's just painful. Do you understand? When people call in about it now or I see articles, it's like it hurts, okay? It hurts. I'm a real person. I'm not one of these fake plastic corporatists who doesn't care about everybody. Like I say, if I step on a lizard in my house or a gecko and it's flopping around with its, you know, guts sticking out, I get upset. And you can call me a wimp or whatever. Once I like people, once I commit to people, it hurts, man. And again, I don't want to even sit there and talk bad about people without giving the evidence of it as well. But then it's like, what's the point? It's a done chapter. It's over. Okay? I just don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about, we need Ron Paul to run. He'll save us. He isn't doing jack squat, okay? And that's fine. I understand that strategy. I've tried to influence the Republican Party from within. They're having some success. I try to be positive. I said, hey, maybe they're right a few months ago. And then I find out about more stuff behind the scenes where they absolutely, Jesse Benton and others, are saying, you know, to Rand Paul, Ron Paul, everybody, get away from your old base. You're a rock star now. One time I was on the phone with one of them. I'm not going to say which person. One of the senior people. They're like, Ron Paul's a rock star now. I'm like, this isn't about being a rock star. This is about information. This is about civilization. This isn't about, you know, ooh, he's all over television. And I just the weakness of humanity. I love humanity. I love our strength. I know I'm weak as well. All that matters is you don't sell out. And see, if you were already in a camp and that's what you do, that's one thing. It's that when you go and you use people and then you treat them like trash, it's bad to use somebody. You ever heard the old saying, you can crap on me, but don't rub it in? I mean, you know, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. Now, see, I've already digressed here. I'm going to shut up right there. In fact, they brought me this article this morning, Mitch McConnell hires Ron Paul aide, and I saw it, and I'd already seen it. I said, no, I'm not going to cover it. And then the caller set me off. And again, it's not like I'm even censoring info. It doesn't matter. We've got World War III gearing up. We've got the dollar melting down, other currencies, QE3. We've got all of this serious stuff going on. And then there's these pipe dreams. Ron Paul running was a great thing because it did influence people. It exposed the private Federal Reserve. It exposed the New World Order. But, you know, Rand Paul would talk about the Bilderberg Group on my show. Now when he's asked about it, he won't talk about it because he has parties with Bilderberg members like Peter Thiel. And okay, all right. I get it. That guy says he's a libertarian. When something with billions of bucks comes along, people tend to want to be nice to him. But it's just like, I don't want to go there. I have bigger things to discuss. Okay? And so there you go, caller. Only got to one of the calls and I got loaded phones here. Looks like you're all going to get to talk to Jesse Ventura. Or you can all hang up. I'll give the number out later for people to talk to Jesse, but he's coming up after the break. We'll get into a whole host of issues. He's somebody that's gotten that both political parties are basically two heads on the same creature. He understands what's going on. And, you know, the ruling elite of this country are like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. They have no idea just how devastating their policies are in many respects. But then again, a lot of them do. They're a bunch of social Darwinists who think the more horrible things they do, the better for society. So we are definitely in a pickle, as they say. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Governor Jesse Ventura, author, researcher, TV host, coming up.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. Of course, number one New York Times bestseller as well. His new book, I think, is one of the best I've ever read, Democrips and Reblublicans, No More Gangs in Government. We're going to be breaking that down first today. Then we're going to talk about the good news. That's right. They announced last week we had Tyrell, his son, on, who's one of the producers of the show and one of the stars of the third season with Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son. They're finally going to air it. I thought they weren't after, blocking it airing for about 8-9 months. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Al-Qaeda being put in Libya and Syria. Now we've got to invade because they're blowing up our embassies and killing people. And then we'll also get into his take on the New World Order being announced openly. We're going to play some clips of the news saying that and get his take on 2012 and all this hubbub. Jesse, great to have you back with us. And we just had him, and that... Yeah, I think we lost him. Go ahead and get him back on. That phone line's been dropping. Go ahead and get him back on. That was a good build-up, and then not have the guest there. These phone lines are weird. All right, continuing, though, I want to get in with him into this report right here. U.S. sends two warships to Libyan coast. Again, two U.S. Navy-guided missile destroyers were sent towards the coast of Libya following the killing of U.S. ambassador to Libya and three consulate employees, Fox News reported, citing unnamed military officials. Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans were killed on Tuesday after the diplomatic facility in Benghazi was attacked by an armed mob angry over a U.S. production film that is said to be insulting to Islam's prophet Muhammad. Now, think about that. And then this film looks like a total and complete psyop at every single level. Continuing, consulate attack NATO stooges now ludicrously point finger at Gaddafi loyalist. Lame attempt to shift blame away from U.S.-backed extremist. So now they're trying to claim that these are groups loyal to Gaddafi or that it's Iranians. It's admitted Wahhabist al-Qaeda that's been doing this. I mean, that's even admitted in the British press and the German press and other outfits. This is not debatable. This is not debatable what's going on. Now, I see him in there on the phone system. I think we are having a phone system problem. And I was going to get to this at the start of the next hour. I want to go to this right now while we go deal with that, because this is a report. Speaking of Ron Paul, wouldn't it be great if Ron Paul ran for Texas governor? I mean, he would have already been running. That election's coming up here in just a year or so. He would have been president for 4 years. Imagine Ron Paul as governor. But do we get Jesse Benton as governor, is the question. And our very own David Ortiz reported on this. So we're going to go to this report. Ron Paul for governor. Here I am saying I don't want to hear about Ron Paul anymore because we got to move on now to the rest of the election. And then we're airing a report on Ron Paul. But here it is.
While chants of President Paul have long been silenced, the congressman's supporters may still have an unexpected opportunity to get Ron Paul elected to high office. That's because in 2014, the seat for Texas governor will be open. While a spokesperson for the congressman has stated to InfoWars that the doctor is not interested in the position, many activists can argue that a large-scale grassroots effort promoting this idea could prompt them to reconsider. Current Texas Governor Rick Perry has stated he does intend to seek re-election, despite the fact he has already held this position for 12 years, and a recent Dallas Morning News poll shows a majority of Texans don't think he should run again. I recently asked visitors at the Texas Capitol building in Austin what they thought of this possibility.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
Yes.
Why?
I think he's a good politician. He gives the rights to the people, not as much government interference, which is something I'd prefer. He's also a very confident politician, very experienced, and I believe he'd do a great job.
Do you think he has a shot of winning?
Possibly, if he gets his message out there and really conveys to the people that he is the best in interest in his mind is Texans.
I think he should. Yeah, I mean, he seems like a guy that might actually do a little bit better than Rick Perry. He seems to be a little bit more caring for people and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Do you think Ron Paul would have a shot of winning, a realistic shot of winning?
Not really.
Do you think Ron Paul should run for governor of Texas?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Why not?
I don't care for him too much. I just don't care for his policies and some of the things he stands for.
Do you think he could win if he ran?
Probably not. It's hard to tell, but I don't think so. But a lot of people don't care for some of his issues, but I mean, some he has that are good, but the underlying things I really don't care for.
I don't think so, because he doesn't really have any experience in governing.
Do you think he could win if he ran for governor of Texas?
I don't think so.
Why not?
He's too much of an individual and not part of the machine. You have to be part of the machine here in order to win.
If Ron Paul were to win the election, he would be 79 years old on election day. While some may argue that his elder age would be viewed as a negative to his campaign, it is important to note that he would have been serving as a public servant at this age had he won the presidency. Advocates can also argue that a statewide campaign would be far less taxing on the congressman and his family than a national campaign, and that he can choose to serve for just one term. In a recent blog posted by former Paul spokesman Doug Weed, he states that he does not rule out the possibility that Dr. Paul will run for public office again. However, he was referring to a presidential run. A recent University of Texas poll shows that most state residents are happy with the direction the state is currently going in. The survey also shows that while the economy is the most important issue for most Americans, illegal immigration and border security are the two most important issues for Texans. Residents I spoke to, however, would want Dr. Paul to address another issue if he were to win.
I've been reading a few articles about people that are wrongly convicted, and to me that's kind of disheartening because, I don't know anybody personally that was in that situation, but from hearing their stories and stuff like that, it kind of devastates their family.
I'd like to see any governor or any candidate for governor address the death penalty and speak about abolishing it again. It's very unjust.
Always fighting on behalf of liberty. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
All right, there goes David Ortiz. Now, if I was a conspiracy theorist, I'd say they killed our phone lines. We never had that happen before. I was talking to the governor, Ventura, during the break. It was working fine. We go to air, and the line was still there, but no audio. But we now have Governor Ventura back with us now, getting into his new book, Democribs and Reblublicans. Gov, good to have you with us.
Hi, Alex. Always a pleasure.
It's just good to have you here now. It's good to hear your voice. Well, I tell you, your book...
Yours too.
Your book couldn't come out at a better time. Tell us, I've read it. It's an excellent book, but tell us why you wrote this new bestseller.
Well, I wrote it because I want people to understand that we have a completely broken system created by the Democrats and Republicans. It's a system based completely on bribery. If you do bribery in the private sector, of course, you go to jail. But it's alive and well in our political arena because that's how it works. If you don't grease the palm of the congressman or senator, you're not going to get an audience with them. It's all money talks and you know what else walks.
Well, you're right about that. And it's becoming more and more evident that Romney and Obama are bought and paid for by the same interest. So where do you see it going? Once one of these stooges gets back in and the globalists just continue this takeover.
Well, I think it'll just continue on. That's the thing, when they always like to tell you if you vote for a third party candidate, you're wasting your vote. You've heard that, Alex.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to reverse that and say that if you vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're wasting your vote because you're going to get the same government. It does not matter with these two. As you stated, they're both bought and paid for. If you go to their two conventions, you'll see the same lobbyists there with trunks full of money paying them all off. And so it makes no difference who wins because we will have the same policies. And I fully expect as soon as the election's over that within a year or so, we're going to be at war in Iran.
Let's get into that right now, because we were talking before we went on air about the fact that they admittedly put al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria. NATO's funding them. And then the Wahhabists shoot up and kill the ambassador. They're attacking our embassies. And now they're dispatching Marines and warships and Predator drones to deal with the Saudi Arabian jihadis our government put in there. I mean, this is even crazy for the New World Order.
Well, you know, everyone likes to hold Ronald Reagan up on that pillar. And let's go back to Ronald Reagan. You remember when the Marines were attacked in Lebanon that time and they killed at the barracks, they killed like 200 of them?
Yes.
Did Ronald Reagan start a war? Absolutely not. He got the hell out of there. And that's my view on this. If these countries don't want us there, then let's leave. And let's leave with our foreign aid. I can't believe today, and there's where I stand with Ron Paul completely. We need to cut off foreign aid to any foreign country, and we need to do it for not only those reasons, but the economic reasons. Alex, our country's broke. Now, let's put that in layman's terms. It would be like if you were losing your house because you couldn't make mortgage payments, and you're going to lose your car because you can't make car payments, and yet your cousin Joe from California calls you and needs $500, and you send it to him. I mean, our country's broke. How can we possibly give out foreign aid?
But as you covered in your TV show with the Wall Street Insiders, they're just loaning us fiat made-up digits, so why not get us in more debt? The big mega banks, they stand to gain by countries being in debt.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, as far as on a political front, if I became president, there would be no foreign aid. I would close every international base and bring all our troops home, and I would have courage enough to carve into that defense budget, because it is so bloated. You notice that when they talk about cutting government and cutting government spending, it's never the defense budget, is it?
And how many countries do we have troops in? It's like 165.
Yeah, it's absurd. We're an empire, and every empire falls. I mean, you'd think somebody would read the history of the Roman Empire and realize, wait a minute, we're going right down that path ourselves, and there's no difference to it. Why is it going to be any different now?
You're right.
And if these countries don't want us there, these Muslim countries, then let's get the hell out of there. But see, that's just it. We're there because our corporations want to be there. And the corporations run the United States of America now. It ain't the politicians that call the shots. It's corporate board heads that do it.
And it's total corporate welfare that multinational corporations give paltry sums of money to politicians, and then they commit our money, our treasure, our blood, our young men and women to go into these countries and then antagonize all these people. It's just amazing, and we're paying for all of it.
You know what's in my book, Alex?
I've read it.
Did you know that most of the big multinational corporations spend more money on lobbyists than they pay in taxes?
Yes.
Isn't that an outrage? They spend more money on lobbying and getting our elected officials into their back pocket than what they do paying taxes to our government to run it. We pay the taxes and they make the decisions.
What do you see happening? I mean, I understand it's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but it looks to me like Romney is probably going to end up getting in there. What's your take on that statement?
Oh, I don't think so. Not after the blunder he made today. The latest polls now have Obama ahead 50 to 43.
I did see that.
Because Romney turned it political and attacked Obama when this tragedy happened to the, you know, over in Libya and all that stuff, where they should have worked to bring the country together And instead, Romney went ahead and drove the axe through to divide, and he blamed it all on Obama and all of that. And the public reacted very negative. Even a lot of the bigwigs in his own Republican Party said he blew it. And the latest polls now show Obama with a strong 7-point lead.
Sure. Well, that's John McCain. John McCain went with this ambassador to actually stir it all up over there and fund Al-Qaeda going in. So he has a stake in this not coming out. I'm not defending Romney, but the issue here is, you know, it was Mr. Peace Prize that has helped start all these wars using jihadis. And so I can see why the power structure doesn't like the fact that Romney brought that up. But I agree with you. Romney was pulling ahead until this new event, but election is still, 50-something days away.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, but I'll tell you what, I can't believe the short memory people have. I mean, everything's about the economy and jobs, right? That's the big thing that they think the election's over.
Yes.
Well, who ruined the economy? It was the Republicans. They were the ones that took the handcuffs off Wall Street and allowed them to rape and pillage us. And George Bush and Dick Cheney are responsible for all the wars and the bad economy. In fact, and I'm not an Obama supporter. Don't get me wrong. I despise.
No, but they're all guilty. You're right. No, I mean, they're all guilty. When they point fingers at each other, it's a joke.
But Alex, how do they think the Republicans are going to save the economy when it was the Republicans that initially ruined it? They don't, the lemmings out there don't even have a memory that goes back over a year. I said to my wife in the 08 election, I said, I wouldn't want to be the next president for anything because whoever it is going to get all the blame for what George Bush and Dick Cheney did.
No, you said that on this.
That's exactly the way it's working.
Governor, you said that on this show. You said that, I mean, Obama is going to get, you know, obviously the blame for everything. Even George Bush said that, hey, I don't think Obama's going to be the type that complains and says, poor me. When Obama was president-elect, you know, Bush was in a press conference and basically pointed out that Obama was going to get the blame for everything.
Oh, yeah. And our idiot memories of the people of this country, they can't think back that far. You know, they got about a year that they can remember. And they don't realize that it was Bush that did the first bailout. It was Bush that started all the wars. People need to understand this, and I speak from experience here. Yeah, on the economy, it's decisions made about 4 years ago that affect it today. So when the economy went sour in 2008, it was decisions made back in 2003, 4, and 5 that caused that to happen in 08. It does not happen overnight because it's so big and large that it takes about 3 years or 4 years for decisions to have their impact on the economy.
Well, I agree with you, but expanding on that, you know, being a former governor, former mayor, talk show host, author, I mean, a lot of life experience. Governor Ventura, what is your take on the future of this country? We have 1.4 billion bullets bought by Homeland Security in the last 11 months. The media spins it and says it's about 174,000 bullets for Social Security. They won't even address it. They've got TSA now in all 50 states on the highways, train stations, and bus stations starting to pop up. We've got the military admitting they're preparing for civil unrest. What do you think they're gearing up for?
I don't know. Obviously, something very bad, and we'll transition to my TV show now, if we may, which will tie into this. The new season starts November 7th, 10 Eastern, 9 Central on True TV. And one of the interesting shows we show you this year is in Ozark, Missouri. There's a complete underground city. We discovered it.
And I've really wanted to investigate that. I'm glad you guys did. All over the country, the elites are building these underground cities and bunkers, even private ones. And I know some of the amazing findings, but I don't know how much we can say. How much can you tell us about it?
Well, one of the interesting things, here's an interesting thing we found out in Ozark, Missouri. Now, the only new construction there, except for this big 72,000-square-foot single-family dwelling on top of a hill that led us there, that's another story. But the only new things happening in this little town in Missouri is the only thing being built are banks, tons of banks. And we found the statistics, and it goes something like this. There's one bank for every 11,000 people in New York City. There's one bank for every 9,000 people in Los Angeles. In Ozark, Missouri, there's now one bank for every 51 people.
Incredible.
Now, how can 51 people support a bank?
They can't.
Not unless they're all multimillionaires.
That's right, and if it's an alternate government facility.
But we found that very interesting. A lady there said the only new things we have in this town, she said, I can't figure it out. It's all banks. She said, we've got 6 or 7 new banks that have moved here, and yet our population, you know, and then we found out those statistics that there's now one bank for every 51 people in Ozark, Missouri.
Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is with us, one of my favorite guests and a friend of mine. Wow, Jesse, so much that you've talked about that I've talked about is just now out in the open. I want to get more into the TV show when we come back from break, but just what is your take on the fact that they just admit the NSA spies on us now? They just admit the TSA's now dragging little kids off to private rooms. I mean, how much crazier is this going to get? The drones are now getting armed.
Alex, it'll get as crazy as we allow it to get.
That's right.
And we seem to sit back. We're not listening to Ben Franklin. When Benjamin Franklin said the famous quote, "For those that will give up their liberty for security shall have and deserve neither."
That's right.
And we better start listening to what Mr. Franklin said, or it's going to be too late. All those people out there that think the government can make you safe, are you kidding me? The only way government can make you safe is to lock you down. I always remember a cartoon I saw on a couple months back. It showed a mom and a dad and a brother and a sister sitting at the dinner table, and the caption, they all said, "Gee, I sure feel safe now." And then the cartoon backs away, and they're inside a jail cell.
You know, you've always, in the 7-8 years I've known you, you know, said basically, I'd rather face the danger. Security is a prison. And I don't know if you knew this, but I was wondering where you got that, because I thought you would come up with that, and it made perfect sense. Turns out Eisenhower, guys, pull up the quote during the break. Eisenhower said exactly that in a speech in 1949 to a university. He later went on, of course, to be president. Jesse Ventura will be with us.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
If you want total security, go to prison. There you're fed, clothed, given medical care, and so on. The only thing lacking is freedom. Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he said that at Columbia University in a speech. You can go look that up. So that backs up what Governor Ventura is saying right there, and it's common sense. His new book, Democrats and Republicans, is available. No More Gangs in Government. Excellent book at InfoWarsStore.com. I carry all the best books and videos there on the site. We carry his last two books, American Conspiracies and 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read, which is probably my favorite because it's all the little factoids and photos and documents. All those at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com will also get you there. But his books are in bookstores everywhere as well. And sure, you may know all this stuff or a lot of it. Get the book, read it, then give it to a friend. That's how we're going to wake people up. And there certainly is an awakening. I think that's what the police state buildup is in response to. So, Governor, let's talk about the show. I mean, it got held up for 7-8 months. Give us your take on why that happened. Now it's back on Wednesdays, which we think, obviously, I think you agree is a better night. And then give us a sneak peek on some of the other episodes that are going to be in there.
Well, you know, I can't tell you why it got held up, Alex. We finished them on time in November of last year, like we always do. And all they said was it was editing. And they dragged their feet, and then they finally got around. And 2 weeks ago, I went and did my voiceover work on 4 of them, and I still have to get back and do voiceover on the final 3. But, you know, I'll do them probably as the show starts breaking on television or whatever, or right before in October or whatever, so they'll be done on time. But I can't tell you why they waited that long. Maybe it's because they wanted to release it during the election cycle. I don't know. You know, maybe that was what they had in mind. They never told me why we weren't normally on in the winter like we always are, but I don't mind being on in the fall right now. I think it's a great time slot that they moved us back to Wednesday. It was a huge mistake when they moved us from Wednesday to Friday. Friday's the worst night you could ever have on the second year. But now we're back to Wednesday at 10 Eastern, 9 Central, and we're doing some pretty wild shows. We do one that's very interesting. Does the United States have a death ray?
And, of course, that gets into Tesla.
Show. We also do one on, are they trying to create a humanzee, meaning a half-monkey, half-man person? So there's some wild stuff that we look into this year. And I have a new team on board. We brought on Sean Stone, who is the son of Oliver Stone, the great film producer. And Sean's a graduate of Princeton University, a very, very bright kid. And he fits perfect into our show because it's right down his alley, because he's a huge studier of the Illuminati and all that stuff. He knows it inside and out.
Oh, he has amazing understanding, getting a chance to hang out with him quite a bit there on the shoots. And, of course, Tyrell's knocking it out of the park as well. I just can't wait to see the episodes because, I mean, I was there in part of some of the investigations, but I haven't seen any of it. Have you seen any of it?
Yeah, I've seen four shows, the ones I voiced over. Yeah, I've seen them completely right now, what they'll be, except minus my voiceover and a few small little edits that they'll have to do to tighten it up a little bit. But I've seen four of the shows, and three of them I have not seen yet.
What would you say about this season compared to the other seasons?
I'd say this season it's even more bizarre, and I think it's this season's going to be even more entertaining for people to watch, because we also get into your buddy Ike. Ike's or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I wish you guys wouldn't have got into it. Tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have did it, except it was on Time Magazine's top 10 conspiracies. I mean, people believe this, and, you know, we're also there to show the conspiracy, but we're also there to show if the conspiracy we believe is a fraud. You know, we play both sides of the
street. So you don't believe the Queen is a 5.5-foot reptoid?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
No. But I'll tell you, it's very intriguing and entertaining, Alex, because, you know, when you go back to ancient times, why do wall carvings and pictures on caves and stuff all show reptiles who walk upright?
No, I know. It's kind of like the movie.
It's very intriguing. And if you look at the birth of Christianity, okay, how did Christianity start, allegedly, according to the Bible? A man, a woman, and a talking snake. Well, a snake's a reptile, isn't it? And then when you get into the fact that all of our brains have a certain small portion that's reptilian, which means to tell me I believe in evolution, that means that we were the same if you go back far enough. Well, who's to say that they died off or not?
Jesse, maybe you are a reptoid shapeshifter.
Well, I don't know. I could always swim pretty good, and reptiles usually can swim.
Hey, I was inviting you down here to Barton Springs. You'd love it. Tell us about the surfing.
Well, the surfing is fine. My wife's now doing a lot of paddle surfing. She's doing it more than I am. Wait till you hear this one, though, Alex. This beats all in the United States of America. In Minnesota, right? You have to license a surfboard. Can you believe that? And they require you to wear a life jacket. Now, if Laird Hamilton, the greatest big wave surfer in the world, who rides 40-foot waves, and he also paddle surfs, if he came to Minnesota to do a lesson thing or whatever, he would be required to license his surfboard and wear a life jacket.
That's something I want to get your take on. Because this nanny state is their real takeover system. Now, where they're not letting children run at school recess, they've gotten rid of dodgeball, touch football, and now in a suburb of Houston in the country, a woman in a rural area on a cul-de-sac, her kids were riding on bicycles and scooters, the police arrested her and said kids cannot be in a cul-de-sac. I mean, this nanny state is pure tyranny.
It's awful. There's a reason I was governor, Alex. You know why?
Why?
I figured out the way around it in Minnesota. When I was there to practice, I bought surfboards, and I did not license my surfboards. You know how I got around it? Well, when you license it, you have to give them an address. Well, I gave them my address in Mexico.
Ah.
So I didn't have to license my boards. And the guy said, yep, that'll work. He said, as long as the address you give me on the sales thing is outside of the state of Minnesota, you do not have to pay for a license.
And people should always look for those loopholes because the establishment always puts those in there for themselves. I was buying a small one-man tiny kayak for one of my children at Academy a few months ago, and they got in my face, not rudely, but, you know, hey, the state police want this. You need to register this. And I said, is it the law? And they said, no, but the police want it. And I said, what, am I going to use it to blow up the dam? And I said, fine, I'm not buying it. And they said, fine, you're not getting it. I started walking out, and the manager goes, no, you can have it. And Governor, we're talking about a $200 little cheap plastic kayak. I mean, what type of country is this where they want me to register my kayak?
The same country that I have to register a surfboard. And get this, Alex, there's no serial numbers on a surfboard. So therefore, how do they know the license of this surfboard even belongs to it?
What about saying you got to wear a life preserver?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you showed up on the beaches of Hawaii, the beaches of California, or the beaches of Mexico, the surf beaches, if you were wearing a life jacket, they'd probably string you up.
Well, listen, I was down at the Texas coast just three, 4 months ago for one of my parents' birthdays. They wanted to go down there. It was a total nanny state. Now they have like these beach rangers coming up and harassing you and saying, look out if you go back in there. There's rattlesnakes. And just, I mean, I've been going in there my whole life and never had any interaction. Now it's total interaction over and over again, like it was a comedy.
Alex,
or, yeah.
Why do you think I live half the year in Mexico? Mexico doesn't bother you with nonsense like that. If you go out and kill yourself doing something, well, the Mexican people, they're very religious. They will probably say a prayer for you, and they will feel bad for you, but ultimately they're going to say, what a knucklehead he was. Why did he do that?
Exactly, but that's what I'm talking about. But to finish the brief story, I actually saw people henpecking each other because now all the dogs, including Labradors, in lakes and in the ocean are wearing these big life jackets. And I saw a woman come over to people that had some dogs and said, you ought to have your dog in a life jacket. This new nanny state where people come and tell you what to do, not just the cops. What is going on in this country?
Well, you know, I can only go back to the water, Alex. Everybody's drinking fluoridated water, which, of course, we all know fluoride is the major ingredient to Prozac. And that's the only answer I can give you. They're dumbing themselves down, and they're getting all docile because they're drinking Prozac water.
By the way, they call you a conspiracy theorist for having that incredible episode, one of my favorite last year on that, Governor Ventura. But the Harvard study came out 2 months ago, and they looked at more than 20 studies and said it's conclusive. Fluoride, sodium fluoride in the water, it's actually an acid. They remove an electron, so it's worse. That's why it's so bad. It is toxic. It causes cancer, and it lowers IQ massively. So it's not debatable now. So why is it still in our water, Governor?
Exactly. Well, why did they put it in the water in the first place when you find out the Nazis were the first ones to put fluoride in the water? So we're following some beautiful Nazi-type thinking.
Exactly. I want to know why in Austin, where I live, because I've seen the film, when doctors go and speak to the council, the mayor laughs at them. I mean, I'm telling you, it is outrageous that they're doing this to us, and they think it's funny.
I don't know. You got me. And well, Brainerd, Minnesota voted their city council to not fluoridate the water. The federal government came in and made them.
Yeah, and since when are the feds doing that in New Jersey, Minnesota, and Texas? I've seen now where the feds are ordering it.
Oh, absolutely. Brainerd, Minnesota, their mayor and council voted that their public water, that they did not want fluoride in their water, and the federal government came in and told them, oh, no, you're putting fluoride in the water. So you don't even get a choice anymore.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it is just such tyranny that we're seeing. Speaking of that, I want to go to a few phone calls, Governor.
Before you do, though, Alex, I got hot news for you, and I'll tell you this for all your listeners.
Please.
I stated that if a grassroots campaign took place across America, grassroots, and didn't cost any money, if they got me ballot access in all 50 states, and if the grassroots campaign could guarantee that I would be in the debates, that I will give serious consideration 2016 of running for president.
Are you breaking that here?
I've said it a couple places, but you're pretty well, they're all the same day, so you're hearing it the same day.
Wow, well, thank you for announcing that, because our show's...
So it's up to the people of the United States of America. If they want to across this great land of ours, get me ballot access in all 50 states, and then raise enough hell to ensure that I get... Look at it this way, Alex. They always tell us that competition is tremendous in the private sector, right? It's good to have competition. How come there's no competition in the public sector? Why do we only get two choices? Why for 20 years have we not seen a third voice in a presidential election?
Okay, Governor, let me stop you. This is a big deal. We've been talking for 40 minutes here, and now you drop this bombshell on us. So I want to officially have your statement here. So let me give you the floor for a few minutes. Please start over and make the announcement, because my show's big enough that it'll probably end up breaking nationally here that you say it on this show. So, Governor Ventura, please make your announcement.
Well, I said that if a grassroots effort, not a money effort, I don't want millions of dollars raised and I don't want to do all that, but if there's a grassroots blue-collar effort out there and people do the legwork to get Jesse Ventura on the 2016 ballot for president, and if they can likewise guarantee me, because I've got to be in the debates, I won't do it if I can't have an opportunity to win. And the only way you can have an opportunity to win is you must be included in the debates. If they can guarantee me the debates and guarantee me ballot access in all 50 states, I will give very strong consideration to running for president in 2016 as a complete independent with no party.
Wow. So you're announcing here today on the radio that you will run for president. That's amazing, because we've all been disheartened by the fact that Ron Paul didn't go third party, that he didn't challenge Mitt Romney more, as we've now learned from one of their campaign people, that they made the decision not to do that in Michigan months and months and months ago. And we need somebody third party to inject real issues.
Well, I don't want to even be a third party, Alex. I'm talking about Jesse Ventura as in Governor Ventura as an individual, not even a party. Me as an individual. Because my book advocates the abolishment of political parties. So I do not want to be aligned with any party.
So you are a 100% independent, and you're saying get ballot access in...
Get me ballot access in all 50 states, and I think Puerto Rico. Don't they vote too?
Yes. what's the time frame on that, though?
Get me ballot access in all 50 states to where I'll be on the ballot in all 50 states and guarantee me that I can participate in the debates. I will then give heavy consideration to running when I see that's in place.
When did you make this decision that you would throw your hat in the 2012 presidential race?
2016.
But
the 2016 one, not this one.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, when did you make the decision in 2012?
Well, I just kept looking at the whole situation and realizing that something needs to be done to defeat and destroy this two-party, as Ralph Nader put it, the two-party dictatorship. And I I'm up for challenges, and I think it would be just a wild affair to actually be a legitimate candidate for president and be part of no political party.
Well, we need someone who's got the personality, the background, and the understanding to do it, and there is no one out there. Ron Paul is going to be too old, and there's no one else who even has the integrity. You know, I don't agree with every single one of your political stances, but I know that you're a real guy who cares about freedom and who can't be bought. I mean, I've studied what you did as governor, why the whole system came after you, why the whole media turned against you, And it was because you couldn't be bought by special interest. And that's what we need, is somebody with integrity. So that's very, very exciting, Governor. So you're saying...
You know what's interesting, Alex? When I was governor, I didn't accept any PAC money or anything at all, no special interest money. Did you know for 4 years in office, I never met once with a lobbyist? Lobbyists were banned from my office. I told my staff, I said, I don't need to meet with a lobbyist. I said, they didn't elect me, so therefore they get no audience with me.
Jesse Ventura is our guest. We have a final segment straight ahead. Take a few calls with him here on the other side. So you heard it. We're already looking out to 2016, which will be here in about 5 minutes. I tell you, the years go by so fast. So that's exciting. We're going to hold you to it and try to get a movement going out there to get you ballot access so that you can run as a party. Hey, what's wrong with the libertarians? We'll be right back.
He's going the distance.
Yeah, Governor Jesse Ventura says he'll run for president if people get him on the ballot 2016. That's 4 years away, so that's pretty big news right there. He's saying he'd strong consideration. Talking to him during the break, he's pretty darn serious about it, so that's exciting. What's your take on the whole war on terror, Gov? I saw a recent quote of yours.
Well, I think the terrorists have won pretty well because they've certainly changed the United States of America since 9/11. I mean, we're not the same country, Alex. We're locked down now. We've lost all of many of our freedom rights, and it keeps going in that direction. It's not getting better. They're not backing off on locking us down. They're even taking it farther and farther in a harder lockdown, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, that latest interview you did with Joy Behar is up at Infowars.com, where you basically broke all of that down. Let's go ahead and take a few calls real quick. Ernest in Washington, you're on the air with Governor Ventura, then we'll go to John. Go ahead, Ernest.
Well, what a pleasure to speak to two American patriots. Your announcement, Governor, has got my adrenaline going through the roof, so I'm so excited I can't even tell you.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Like I said, it's going to be a tough row to hoe because, you know, the Democrats and Republicans are going to probably challenge everything in court, and they're going to do all this stuff because, as I said, they don't want competition in the public sector. They certainly tell you they enjoy it in the private sector, but we haven't had a third voice in a debate for 20 years now, and I think that's utterly ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yes, I voted for that person.
Ernest, any quick questions?
Yes. I was wondering if you could just comment quickly on the list that Wesley Clark brought up that we've gone through a lot of the countries already, with the last one being Iran.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a plan. They're stirring up the Muslims with a CIA-produced film. That's a good question, Governor.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't surprise me because the neocons, that was part of their plan. They're nailing every country that used to be a Soviet satellite. Any country that was aligned anyway with the Soviets back in the Cold War, the wars have been in every one of those countries. I mean, it's like clockwork.
That's right. It's all part of a plan, too. But they always have a new excuse, but it's all planned out. John, listening on 770 AM, WAIS in Ohio. John, you're on the air with Governor Ventura.
Hey, Governor Ventura, I've loved you since you were wrestling. I loved you as governor because I think you were one of the only ones that had the balls to look at these people and tell them they were wrong.
I thank you for that. I don't know about that. Maybe the stupidity.
Well, I just wanted to ask you, you know, I got one question for you, and then I got two statements for Alex.
Real fast, buddy. We got about a minute and a half here.
Okay, yeah. First question was, why do you think Oliver Stone went so soft on Bush in that movie he did? You know, there were so many real scandals there.
That's a great question. Next question. What's the other one?
And next question was, I just got the movie America. It was an old movie from the 80s about the Soviets.
Listen, he's got to go. He's got to go. We got another interview, so let's answer that question. Oliver Stone's George Bush Worship Fest is a pro 9/11 thing, you know, that goes along with the official story.
Well, again, Oliver's kind of, in a little way, kind of sold out because he wants to keep working. You know, so I think he's kind of moved away from all the controversial stuff in the film works and the film direction he's going now. You know, his son Sean would be the better person to ask about that rather than me. You know, I'm just giving you kind of a far-reaching opinion. I don't really know. You know, Sean Stone, his son, would be the better person to ask. And he did tell me at one point that his father had kind of felt that he needed a change of pace. You know, he needed to go a new direction. And I can understand that because Oliver Stone's taken a lot of grief for some of the great film work he's done.
He also has been arrested a few times. And magically, if you don't play ball, goodbye. Goodbye, sunshine. You're going to go underground in one of their boxes. Jesse Ventura, Governor, great having you on with us, and I'm glad the TV show is going to air coming up in November. And you said you'll come back in a few weeks. Thank you, sir.
Yep, thank you, Alex. Have a great one, and hi to everybody, all your listeners out there. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. All right, next hour coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, coming up, we've got some news reports breaking down the fact that the American people aren't that informed on their Bill of Rights and Constitution. With Dan Bedondi, we already aired the report, will Ron Paul run for Texas governor? We've also got a Jakari Jackson report dealing with federal grants to police departments to take your blood at checkpoints. He goes out on the street and talks to people. Then we're going to break down the economic collapse that's accelerating. I've got a big stack of economic news that I absolutely must cover before this hour is over. And where is my stack of economic news? I had it here right in front of me, read it diligently this morning. Now I'm having trouble finding, and I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a stack of news. I have stacks and stacks and stacks, and I go through all this stuff and read it. And then it seems like once I get on the air, my IQ goes out the window. Oh, here it is. It's right here. Big, giant stack right there. Okay, it all becomes a blur. Once you get on air, it's like half your IQ goes out the window, like I was just saying. Take a few calls in this short little segment, and then get to those reports, and then more calls. And we have a special surprise guest in studio with some inside information going to be joining us. Right now, let's go to Blake in FEMA Region 3. Thanks for holding, Blake. You're on the air.
Hi there, Alex. It's an honor. I'm kind of glad Governor Ventura wasn't on, because how do you follow something like that, an announcement that he might run? So I am wondering, I have actually found out about you through Ventura and through the conspiracy theory show. I wasn't big on the internet or anything. Then started doing some digging and immediately connected with you. Before that, I was in a room screaming and nobody's listening. So I'm a little late on board the last couple of months. I do subscribe to your service. I think that's important.
It's thank you. Yeah, well, we couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for the members at PrisonPlanet.tv. So thank you so much, ma'am. Yeah, and listen, don't feel bad that you've just now woken up. That means you're always awake at one level, just not fully. You got to worry about people that just will never wake up. I mean, we were all once asleep.
Right. And it's only been a couple of months. You know, you got that feeling in your gut. Something's not right. Something's not right. And I'm putting everything together like a big puzzle. And I really relate to you. You're human. And you put everything in humanitarian terms. But listen, I have one question that I guess I'm not getting, and I understand the central banks and how they're controlling everything. And I've gotten my hands on. I've ordered from your site 3 times. I know you offer things for free, but I think it's important to support that as well. So I'm not caught up on the movies yet. But my question is. The Islamic extremists, how does this play into this? I mean, I don't see them succumbing to world dominance or...
Well, all you do is you finance the Sunnis and Shiites to kill each other in divide and conquer the great game. And so that's what's happening, is that you see the policy. Obama's like, I'm not going to talk to Netanyahu, but come on, Muslim Brotherhood, come hang out with me. And they're telling him basically run wild, go crazy. And then I guess Obama's going to leave office, and then in come Romney and start bombing him. I mean, it's absolutely cynical and very, very evil. And then to have the globalists produce this video to get them all hyped up. And sure, it's wrong for them to get all hyped up and not. It's so stupid to take the bait like this. But the point is, they are manipulating them into a larger conflict that will probably lead to a larger war, not just a civil war. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you for your support. We'll be right back. Stay with us at 2.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. This world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, an actor out alone. Riders on the storm, there's a killer on the road.
It is Thursday, my friends, the 13th day of September 2012, and we have some good news here. Chris Hedges, the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist who joined us last week, who sued over the NDAA, clearly stating that someone like himself, a journalist that just talks to people they claim are extremist, whether it be a Ku Klux Klan member, a Muslim extremist, a Jewish extremist, a Russian extremist, that you could be disappeared, secretly executed, whatever the case is. That's what Obama signed on December 31st of last year, when he thought no one was watching. Well, the federal court that did a temporary injunction has done a permanent injunction. Now it will be appealed and go to the Supreme Court. And it's on its face completely unconstitutional. Just like Obama saying he has the power of the purse, not Congress. That's totally unconstitutional. Or Obama saying our military is under NATO control. That's unconstitutional. U.S. totalitarian system loses major battle as judge permanently blocks NDAA's military detention provision. And again, folks, if they claim they've got terrorists, you need to have a trial, or they can grab anybody and say we're all terrorists. And again, who's been caught running the real terrorist? The government, because the government's been taken over by foreign interest. Hedges called the president's action allowing indefinite detention, which was signed into law with little opposition from either party, unforgivable, unconstitutional, and exceedingly dangerous. He attacked point-blank the civil rights farce that is the never-ending war on terror conducted by both parties, targeting whom exactly is unclear, but certainly attaining ever more intense retaliation from foreigners, such as the furious attacks against the U.S. consulates in Egypt and Libya. And again, that's the phony war on terror that's actually meant to stir up all of the Muslims, so they can then take all of our liberties here domestically and launch wider wars. Now, I want to shift gears into a report by Jakari Jackson here that was conducted on the streets of Austin, Texas, kind of Mayberry, USA, for a big city. It's about as Mayberry as it gets, to give you a cross-section of what people think about police checkpoints and rubber stamp warrants. For a while, they weren't even getting warrants. And the feds are paying for this nationwide. And first they start as a no-refusal weekend where you pull up at an illegal checkpoint. Totally unconstitutional. And they want to see your driver's license and all this stuff. Now they've expanded in San Antonio and other cities to 7 days a week. And there's that point of give us a breathalyzer or we're going to jam a needle in your arm. And all of this is the medicalization of police. That's why they're getting them ready for forced inoculations under the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act. That's what this is about. They're trying to force the military to take experimental shots. You can't make the military take experimental shots. That's the law. You can make them take regular vaccines because you've signed away your rights. But now they want to make all first responders take it. You have a right to say no. So this is a very, very dangerous precedent. And our own police chief, where I'm broadcasting to you from here, Arde Saveda, who's been in studio here, he is just selling out completely to this because it's the safety to stop drunk drivers. Really? Really? Texting while driving is 5 times more dangerous, Department of Transportation studies show. You know, arresting someone who's had 2 glasses of wine is a joke while they have bars up and down the roads. This is just a way to get regular people in the system, just like mothers being arrested if their kids play in the front yard. This government is out of control while pushing Ritalin and Prozac and all this garbage on us. Let's go ahead and go to Jakari Jackson's report for InfoWars Nightly News. We are premiering it here on the radio.
The city of Austin hosts no refusal DWI weekends. No refusal meaning that the driver can have their blood drawn even if the suspect refuses the blood draw and or the breath test. Now, while we recognize driving while intoxicated as a very serious offense, is it serious enough to have your rights and privacy violated? Police are doing no refusal DUI weekends where they can draw your blood without your approval. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I don't have any problem with that.
I think that's really unsafe. A lot of people faint when they have their blood drawn, and it doesn't make it any safer for them to be driving.
What are your thoughts on them, you know, being able to acquire a warrant to draw your blood even if you refuse?
I don't know. They shouldn't allow that.
I kind of feel that's a little invasive and kind of, I don't know, the lack of communication between them and the community is kind of stupid.
I think even if I'm completely sober, hadn't had a drink all night, I'd still rather go to jail for the night.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
I don't think it's fair.
Do you think they could do anything besides blood draws and breathalyzers to, you know, keep the auto accidents down?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes?
To keep us safe and to keep everybody else safe.
I think just installing checkpoints and doing breathalyzers of suspected drunk drivers would be a good way.
To limit the number of DUI accidents, I don't know. I'm not sure what they can do, really. It's up to the people, you know.
I think the streets of Austin are safe as they are.
Even from drunk drivers?
There's no drunk drivers. Everyone drives a cab nowadays, I think. Right? Yes. Right.
Do you think texting is more or less dangerous than drinking and driving?
Maybe equally.
Anything that's going to take their sound judgment, then it's better to ban it.
You've seen people text and drive, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that's more or less dangerous than drinking and driving?
It's probably more dangerous, I would think, you know.
I feel like anyone can be distracted by really anything that they do while driving, and taking texting away is just stupid. I mean, you can be talking and still get into an accident. It's not necessarily about what you're doing. It's about the driver and how responsible they are.
Have you ever texted while you're driving?
Always. I try and do it at red lights.
The National Highway and Safety Administration released that in 2010, 10,000 people died as a result of alcohol-related incidents. Very serious numbers. But if you take a look at textinganddrivingsafety.com's post, they found that texting and driving is 6 times more dangerous than drinking and driving. Also, that texting and driving mirrors the effects of driving after having 4 beers. Once again, we do not in any way encourage you to drink and drive. We are simply pointing out that texting and driving is more dangerous. I'm here with
Commander Jason Dustroff of the Highway Enforcement Unit.
All right, so I want to ask you a few questions about the no-refusal DUI weekends. First of all, how long have you been doing them?
We've been doing them over 3 years in our department.
All right, and how did they get started? Was there any particular reason or need for them?
Chief Acevedo came in and really saw the need that we need to hold more drivers that are out there driving impaired, and especially the ones that are killing and injuring people, accountable.
Now, are there any plans to make these no-refusal weekends permanent or to expand them to other, you know, maybe not holidays, just kind of every weekend? Is there any plans to do anything like that?
I know a lot of cities, like I explained earlier, are moving towards no refusal 365 days of the year, all the time, 24 hours. That's something we're always going to keep in our bag and look at it individually and say, is it right for Austin?
Is there any type of violation of the Fourth Amendment right to be, you know, secure in your person, in your opinion?
No, not at all. This has been upheld throughout the United States that it's within the constitutional rights for us to take that blood.
recently the city of Austin was in the news for, you know, having people infiltrate the Occupy movement last December. Protesters were at the Port of Houston, and they say that officers were involved in allowing them, you know, assisting them block the Houston port. Do you have any comment on that?
I don't. I really don't have any information on that.
All right, just one final question, sir. Now, we had a chance to speak to some people on the street just a few minutes ago, and one of the questions we asked them is, when you're driving and you look in your rearview mirror and you see a police officer, do you feel safe or do you feel threatened? We talked about 7 to 8 people, and the majority of them said that they feel threatened. When you see a cop car and you're driving and you see a cop car behind you, you know, do you feel more safe or less safe?
I feel less safe.
I feel fine. I'm just, at that point, worried about if I have, like, a taillight out or something.
I think the police have... They're not like they used to be.
I feel very scared, always. Even when I'm not drinking, even when I'm just going to the store, I feel threatened all the time. So I don't
threatened
know.
By who?
Just the cops. I feel like they're going to pull me over for anything.
It all depends, because they like to harass. You know what I mean?
When I see the policeman, I don't have any, no, nothing to hide. So they are my friends now.
Now, to clarify, you're saying you feel unsafe because of the police or just unsafe in general?
Unsafe because of the police.
Do you have any idea of why that may be?
Well, I think most of the time people see those lights behind them, is the first thing they think is, was I speeding? You know, did I not obey the law? What did I do? So typically, you know, that's a normal feeling. But I think once they meet the officer and they're able to go, okay, you know, I was just going a few miles an hour over the speed limit, or my tail light's out or something like that, 99.9 of our citizens are doing nothing wrong other than a minor traffic violation.
Now, over the weekend, over 90 people were arrested for the no refusal DUI clause. About half of those gave both breath and blood samples, but not all of those were voluntary. Now, we had a chance to speak to a couple officers off the record. They told us that the blood draws are not automatic and they do need a judge's approval to do them. This is Jakari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right. Great job, Jakari Jackson. More reports at PrisonPlanet.tv. You need to support our broadcast and our news team we're building. Become subscribers at PrisonPlanet.tv. See the three-hour radio show, the nightly news, all my films, and so much more. InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv. By the way, the police are now arresting people for no seatbelts in their own neighborhood. The system wants to get you institutionalized. It's become predatory. Let's not deny that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Special report. Key information straight ahead.
I say I shot the sheriff, but I swear it was in self-defense. Yeah. Ooh. Freedom came my way one day.
And all right. He came to visit me in town a couple days ago to just talk about the state of the world and what they were going through. And I said, you've got to come on air and talk about this. And Steve Schenck said, all right, I've been your sponsor for about 8 years, because I shopped around to find the best storable foods and found out he was the trailblazer, the grandfather of it all, 30 plus years. You know, the biggest company, the best company, all of that. You've got all these fly-by-night people now coming in to storable foods because people realize, hey, you need to be independent, not dependent on government. That's how they control you. And he said, I'll come on, I'll stay another day, but we're not going to, you know, sit there and have you pitch our food. I want to talk about the state of the world. So that means I've got to shut up, because I promote things I believe in. It's a win-win-win. And I've just got more storable food for them. They got the widest selection, the, you know, the cleanest, best food, all of it. But the stories he was telling me about trying to get food and how crazy it is and the food prices, everything he predicted a year ago, you know, over the phone here with us, but in studio with us, I think the first time in 8 years, I've met him many times in person. We have Steve Schenck here, who's kind of a globetrotter. He travels all over. He just came here to talk to me. Kind of old fashioned. I like that. I'm like, look, you don't need to come here to talk to me. And he, no, I want to come there and talk to you. So he's here at the InfoWars Command Center. We've got him for the rest of the hour. And it's such a big story, we're going to have him on the nightly news as well, because he had all these documents and articles and what he was telling me. I mean, this is a guy who's got big, giant factories, folks. I mean, you know, everybody copies him. He's got other companies with spies trying to find out what he's doing. He's having to buy food out a year or two ahead just so he can give you good food at the lowest price when other folks are selling you things that the cardboard has more nutrition, literally. See, I'm already running on here. We're not talking about eFoodsDirect.com. He does not want to talk about that. He came here to talk about the news, and boy, there is a big giant stack of it. But interjecting into that, DHS warns Muslim Brotherhood and Iran forming new terror axis. But wait a minute, our government put al-Qaeda into Libya and Syria. Unreal. Obama invites Egyptian Muslim Brotherhood president to meet next week, refuses to meet Netanyahu. They've got Marines landing, ships arriving. There's basically a new invasion of Libya to kick out the people they used to take over. Bedlam in Syria. So that's a side issue. Here's what he brought. Reuters. World food prices jumped 10% in July. World Bank. Boom. That's hyperinflation, folks, not just the droughts. Food stamp use climbs to record 46.7 mil, but you add in the rest is over 50 mil. Bloomberg. Hot long summer since food prices soaring. The ethanol issue. Record numbers entering poverty. I mean, this is just the beginning. Steve Shank, we're going to break here in about 3 minutes. We're going to come back with us. We got so much to talk about here today. What is your message in 3 minutes of what's coming up? I mean, why did you want to address people here today?
Very simply, Alex, we've got a situation where food is becoming very literally the road to Rome. In other words, everything leads to food. When they've got trouble in the Middle East, when we've got oil prices going up, when we've got embargo possibilities, all the oil issues, we've got ethanol. When people are looking at their gas pumps and seeing 10% ethanol, that's your food going into the gas tank. That's your food going into the gas tank. Because right now, we lost 70% of our corn crop.
And the animal feed. Pig farmers are just throwing in the towel. Beef farmers.
Yeah. And some of them are feeding their livestock candy because they can't afford the corn.
I saw that. The corn candy's cheaper than corn. Guys, show that article.
Yeah. And so what we've got is a situation where food is becoming the currency of the present. It used to be that food was the way that you measured someone's wealth. Now we're struggling to pay for the gas in the gas tank primarily because the ethanol that was touted as being a means by which we could keep the gas prices down. Corn is so expensive to make the ethanol out of that it's actually boosting the price of petroleum up. So we've got just absolutely a world gone insane. And this, the country that was in 1959 capable of producing enough food to feed the entire planet five times over, is now importing 40% of its food. And our American population, 50% of the population of this country is needing subsidization for their food budget.
It's not just the 50 mil or close to it on food stamps, and you got all the Social Security, all of it. If the dollar goes belly up, my gosh, it's going to be invasion of the zombies. And the government's running ads saying, get prepared, zombies are going to attack, as a metaphor of the giant hordes of people. I mean, this is insane when the Homeland Security is running zombie apocalypse TV ads.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely insane.
What is going on? Steve Shank, this is insane. We're going to break it all down on the other side. I wish it wasn't unfolding, coming true, but it is. Reality is more sensational than any movie you can imagine. We've got a bullet list a mile long we're going to tackle on the other side, and I'm going to plug it. He can't stop me. EatFoodsDirect.com, the place to get your storable foods.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're back live. Here's what's breaking at InfoWars.com. I knew that a judge ruled that they can just take your guns if they feel like it now and just say it's an arsenal or say you're mentally ill, but I was just reading an article during the break and following the links. It's at InfoWars.com. New attack on Second Amendment says substance abusers cannot own firearms. So now, if they take your blood at one of these checkpoints and find THC in it, they're not just going to take your kids. They're going to take your guns, and they're calling it a mental disorder to be pro-gun. I'm not kidding. So we're entering the Soviet Union. This stuff is moving so quick. But let's see them try to implement it. The IRS over health care. They say they don't run health care now. They're just issuing the rulings and saying what you've got to do. Also, we've got establishment capitalizes on embassy attack as election approaches. And I'm not defending Mitt Romney, but when he said Obama's been helping the Muslim Brotherhood and all these groups. And whenever Romney said, look at how your people you put in Libya killed the embassy head, the ambassador, that was true. And John McCain, who helped get all this war launched, he's out attacking Mitt Romney, and the media's like, even a Republican's attacking him. Well, if John McCain's a conservative or a libertarian, I'll eat my hat. I mean, this is anti-gun, pro-open borders. And again, I'm not citing Obama, Romney. They're both globalists. But let me tell you, this is a fake attack on Romney here. Because this, he should own it. Romney should own it and say, you helped put Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria. But see, he doesn't want to do that because it's part of the larger plan. So the establishment's like, hey, don't use that, Romney, because they're all involved in it. And that's why politicians will never use real issues. Now, Steve Shanks here of eFoodsDirect.com, the J. Michael Stevenson Group, and they are the name. I mean, I've bought a bunch of storable food over the years. They've got the best prices because they buy in bulk. They cut out the middlemen. They don't do all the giant advertising. There's some other groups out there that you hear on some of the big shows that I got to tell you, folks, is an absolute travesty. It's like some of these gold companies that have a 100% markup and stuff. I mean, it's just amazing what goes on. And again, he doesn't want to talk about that. I'm just telling you, this guy is an authority. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to food prices and the economy, because he's there buying the food a year out or more. Doesn't mean he buys food and sits there for a year. He's future contracts on crops that haven't even grown yet. So he's a big insider, basically telling all. We're going to have an in-depth interview today on the Nightly News that will air soon on the radio. But Steve, while you're here live, you've got the floor. Take it away. You want to get into food stamps first and how we hear them being advertised. Doesn't matter if you've got a job or a car, come get them. What's that about?
Well, it's absolutely absurd. What's happening is, I hesitate to say this, but on this program, I can't think I can. Do you want to buy a presidency? Because here's a very simple concept. If you feed them, you'll lead them. And what we've got right now in this country is 50% of the population needs some sort of a subsidy for their food because they can't afford it. Millions of people are in a situation where they're getting food stamps already. But in addition to the food stamps, you've got a whole lot of folks that are getting support from their churches, getting support from other sub-organizations that are assisting. And so half the population really needs help buying food because the food prices are so high. But then at the same time, we've got a drought that's knocked out about 70% of the corn crop. Well, now, what does that mean? All of these dots connect up together, Alex, and all roads lead to food. Very simply, when we lose the corn crop, we've had a certain percentage of that corn crop that's been mandated to be put into ethanol. In other words, you're pouring the food into the gas tank. Now, the whole idea behind ethanol was the fact that it was supposed to save money on petroleum. Okay? When corn, as a result of the ethanol went to its all-time high. It actually started increasing the cost of the gasoline that the ethanol was put into. Now, you put together the other insanity of this, that it takes about a gallon and a half of petroleum energy to make 1 gallon of ethanol from corn, plus tremendous amounts of water, and corn is being subsidized for ethanol by the government. Now, anytime you have the government putting money into a project,
drives the price up like healthcare.
Absolutely. So what we've got is the farmers that are raising ethanol corn are being subsidized by the government. What about the farmers that are raising the corn that feeds our livestock and is people food?
Yeah, because a lot of people say, I don't even like corn. Why do I care? Folks, it's the base of the food chain for animal feed, for fillers and products. Corn, in some families, is half the vegetable protein and sugars they're getting. I mean, it's in everything.
70% of the food that you get in the grocery store has corn connected to it somehow. But the other interesting thing is the chain effect. What's happening is that the ranchers that are growing the beef, the farmers that have the dairy herds and all the poultry and all this kind of stuff, they can't get the feed that they need. In fact, it's gotten to the point where corn is so expensive that some of the farmers are actually feeding their livestock candy.
Wow.
Because the candy has corn products in it, and they can get some of the nutrition into the
livestock. Now, you brought up the foreigners. They admit the big boom is farms being bought up. The banks won't loan the money. So tell me what you told me yesterday.
Well, we had the bailout, right? That's supposed to solve a lot of problems. Well, the Congress looked at about $77 billion in bailout money. But some of the people that have actually looked at all of the subsidiary relationships that the government committed itself to has it over $12 trillion that has actually been committed. Now, what you've got is the government bailout created a situation where the banks got into good order. But immediately after that, you had a lot of the grocery store chains complaining because they couldn't get government loans to actually buy the foods to put on their shelves to sell the people. Then right behind that, the farmers stopped getting loans for planting the crops and harvesting the crops and doing whatever they needed to for the fuel and everything that they needed. And a lot of that was based on requirements that the farmers have enough water to fill a crop through because the bank didn't.
And again, none of this is an accident. They're paying to move our factories overseas. They know full well what they're doing. It's all the post-industrial world. Agenda 21, as you said yesterday, the bottom line is shut down the small family farms, which they're doing. It's a consolidation and take the country that in the 50s they said could feed the whole world. Now, as you said, we import 40% of our food. But in the third world, it causes riots where they spend more than half their money on food. Here, it impoverishes us. There, it causes people to starve to death. And then you understand why they pulled the trigger on the ethanol chain reaction. This is eugenics.
Well, the interesting thing is that it all connects up. All these dots line up in a row. If you've got corn subsidized for ethanol and the farmers that are raising our food have to pay higher prices for the corn to feed the cattle, and now we've eliminated the corn as a result of the drought. Now, it's not just here in the United States we've got a drought. We've got a drought worldwide. We're in the seventh year of a worldwide famine. China lost 60% of its wheat crop last year.
The Russians did.
Oh, yeah.
Something's weird. I hope there's not something to this 2012. No, we're all going to be here next year.
Don't even start me on that. The alignment of the planets and all this kind of stuff and what is happening to the weather patterns and things. There's some real stuff there. But let's get back to what's happening here with all of commodities buying that's going on. You see, it used to be illegal for anybody to invest in commodities, foodstuffs, corn and wheat and this type of thing, unless they were actually in the business. But that got opened up.
Yeah, only farmers could do it to hedge their bet.
And people that were in the process of processing the food. In other words, the bakeries and that type of thing, people that were in the business and could take delivery, they couldn't just invest in it and just buy and sell. But you see,
they couldn't speculate.
No, you've heard about the trade deficit. We've got a trade deficit situation, right? They talk about how the United States is passing all of its money overseas, mostly to China, by the way. China has more of our money than we do, but the fact is that the United Nations came out just a couple months ago and was lauding the fact that we are now doing something about our trade deficit. What are we doing? We're selling our food. You see, the United States is one of the few countries that does not restrict. When it doesn't have enough food to sell its own, to provide for its own people, it does not restrict exports on food. And so that means commodities buyers can go in and buy up our food. China can come in. India can come in. Australia can come in. All these countries.
And they're not just buying the food, as you were telling me last night. I went and looked it up. They're buying up the farms.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, some of the people that promoted the most activity with regard to investing in gold are now saying, they started saying it about a year ago, Alex, that what you want to do is you want to start divesting of your gold and start investing in farm and farmland and agriculture.
Well, yeah, that's what all the bigwigs are saying. Faber, Jim Rogers, all of them
Soros
are saying. Soros is also going into gold at the same time, but you're right. They're rushing into the real commodities and the holding things physically. Now, we've got all these other data points you gave me here that we go over. How does it affect things to have the Middle East going up in flames? I mean, how does it affect things to have the Russians threatening to, you know, counterstrike with nukes. I mean, the whole world is really crazy right now. It's true. So give us your, I mean, you were here a year ago on the phone. You haven't probably been on in 6-7 months. You were saying watch food prices go up 10, 20, 30%. It's now done that 30%. It's now gone up 10% just in July. They're talking about 10% now by the end of this month on top of that. That's like 40% in the last year. What's going on? And where is all this going to go? What's this going to cause in the third world where they're going to die if they don't get their food?
Well, what's going to happen very simply is that in the third world countries, they are already in bad shape, but they depend on imports from other countries. Obviously, they're not growing their own. So what you have is a situation where if we cut back on our exports, if some of the countries that have food cut back on their exports, they have a problem. But you've also got rioting and that type of thing. When we deal with the war, you mentioned the war. What we had just a few months ago was that the Arabs and the oil-producing countries, when they get ticked off at us, they threaten to shut back on the oil. Well, if you look at the last 10 years of prices, of oil prices and food prices, the graphs go just right neck and neck. They're just exactly identical. They're actually overlays.
Well, because that feeds in the fuel to ship the food.
There you
process
go.
It, everything.
So you've got this big circle. We're raising Cain over there with the oil producing countries. We won't develop our own oil production ourselves, which is another issue that I'm sure that you're pretty well aware of.
They use to control us.
Yep. And so basically what's happening is worldwide, when we go into these countries, every country out there, the third world countries particularly, have a seed base of heritage seeds. These are the seeds that the pioneers had. You know, they could plant that seed and then they'd just say, take that same seed and plant it the next year and the next year.
Heirloom seeds.
Heirloom seeds, yeah. They had, what's happened is each one of these countries have their own heirloom seed base, but that's being destroyed. Interesting. So even the third world countries have to buy their seed each year in order to plant and have crops.
Well, yeah, now the GMO's taken over.
There you go.
You now, see the total plan.
Yeah, well, food basically is a control mechanism. You see, food has always been a currency. But what we've got right now...
Well, the UN said in 96 in Beijing, they said, we will use food as a weapon. Henry Kissinger, State Department Memorandum 200. Mm-hmm. This is the plan.
Right. And when these foreign countries come in, you see, as a result of the bailout, they stop giving loans to farmers. Now, we're jumping around here a little bit. But when they stop doing that, then these foreign countries come in and they say to the farmer, OK, if you're going to stay in business, you've got to be able to grow crops. So we'll give you the money and we'll pay you a profit. But the food goes out of the country to wherever they are. China is literally farming the planet.
They're farming Africa.
Yeah.
They're now getting 98% of rare earth minerals out of the ground. Mm-hmm. Our elites have just given control of everything to them strategically. They've made a behind-the-scenes deal with them to help bring in the New World Order. Now, I mean, you sat me down yesterday. It was like I was Howard Beale in there in the office and network, you know, getting the speech. But it was all true because I know this info, but the way you put it, explain why food is so important, because I know this. I mean, you know me, I've got two garages jammed full of it with air conditioners on it.
Right.
Explain to me. But to everybody else, I mean, this is the key, why they're advertising food stamps to everybody. This is domestication. A wild animal can get its own food, a wild human, a free human. But if you depend on the government for food during a collapse, they've got you. So, I mean, break that down.
Well, it's very simple. You can't do anything about the earthquakes and the storms and things that are happening as a result of the 2012 thing. You can't do anything about what's going to happen. I don't care who gets into office right now with this election. It doesn't matter. Neither one of them can do anything about, and we as individuals, Joe Lunchbucket out there, can't do anything about what's going to happen with all of the goofiness that's going on with government and the takeover of the food, and we're going to talk about Michelle Obama and her interest in tracking all the food that we've got a little bit later on.
Oh, yeah, I meant to cover that yesterday. Will you guys reprint me that? Go ahead.
So anyway, you can't do anything about that. Now, Alex, you are a master at going in and finding all of the goofy stuff that's going on, all of the inappropriate stuff, and you expose it. And all of us, we've got people out there that would not miss one of your programs, that actually take notes when you bring up what's going on with Obama, when you bring up what's going on with the Chinese taking over our farmland, when you bring up what's going on with ethanol and the various things that we've talked about. But I got a question for you. You've got food in your garage under air conditioning. What can you do about Obama and the weather? And what can you do about all of the things that we've talked about? You can't do a stinking thing. And all of these people that are taking notes and are saying, my gosh, Alex really hit it today. What have you done for him? What can they do
about it? No, it's like
there's one thing they can do.
So it's like the Titanic is listing. The food is the lifeboats, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree. Listen, I promote my ideas of liberty and freedom and news and resistance to this tyranny. So as it gets worse and worse, people know who did it. So we have a chance as a remnant to rebuild things and dig out of this, because they've got the re-education camps and the army manuals. It's all real. Everything, it's all coming true. I am so unpleased that we were proven right. But I agree with you. People need to have good friends and family and medical supplies and food and water filtration and firearms. And I've gotten out of the city. Listen, I lived in town. I like living in town. I like being able to drive a quarter mile to the movie theater or a quarter mile to the grocery store. Not now. I got to drive 10 minutes to get anywhere. And I'm not, and I went and read strategic relocation, and I found the one area in the hill country in Texas that's probably one of the few safe areas or safer. I mean, I've made preparation. I've put in the well. I'm putting in the solar power. I mean, because this is real, and I hope people will go to the one place to get their food. That I there may be other good places, but a lot of them are bad. eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. I don't care if you told me not to. I'm going to plug it. Tell them Alex Jones sent you. They got eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for some of their specials. 800-409-5633. Folks, you don't just need food for yourself. You need it for your family and your neighbors. Steve Shank, who literally is the food expert. I've learned so much from this guy. And I've heard him say stuff on the radio before, and I'm like, really? And then it comes true. During the breaks, you got to hear these breaks. He's explaining why they want to track what's at the grocery store, what you buy. I mean, that's how crazy things have gotten, is that my kids are homeschooled, but twice a week they go to a homeschool academy, and the place is accredited. So there they got handouts that Michelle Obama loves them and is going to tell them what to eat. And I'm like, that's it. They're out of that academy. So now it's getting to the point where there's nowhere to run from these people. And you were explaining it all to me. But I hear the ads where they're like, you need to get on food stamps, and we don't have enough Hispanics on food stamps, and we need to get everybody on food stamps. And even if you have a job and a car, you need food stamps, and it's your money. You need it. It's clear domestication. And you pointed out Romney came out against it. And you just said that's political suicide.
Well, it very simply is, because what they're doing is they're getting all these people on the dole, and that's the way they're buying the presidency. And when Romney comes out and says we want to cut back the funding for food stamps, that's not the issue. What we need to do is put people in America in a situation where they don't need food stamps anymore, because they can make enough money to buy the food. We need to keep the price of food down to the point where they can afford it.
Yeah, but they call this a recovery and say we left the recession 4 years ago.
What happens every time the government puts money into something? What happens
when price goes up?
What happens when the government put money into health care? What happened there? It's already affecting. The food stamp push is already affecting.
Tell people what's happening to you buying food a year out.
Well, what we're having to do is we're competing with the Chinese, and we're competing with the Indians. We're competing with pretty much everybody out there, and it's boosting the food prices to the point where the demand is pushing raw materials, so that very literally we're having to compete with the countries that we've given all of our money to buy the food against.
Look at this headline. Michelle Obama hopes to take over grocery stores in the next 4 years. I mean, I'm entering the twilight zone here. They're arresting mothers nationwide for their kids in their backyard.
3 years ago, I got a call from Southern Utah, a wife of a veterinarian. She had been informed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that they were going to have to go out to all of the farms in their area and identify and tag every single living critter that was out there. Okay? So that they can determine if a chicken gets sick and dies and somebody eats.
Yeah, you've got to do all this bureaucracy, but then Big Pharma and Big Agra, they're exempt.
Well,
it's a total, look, he has the rural council that's under the Department of Homeland Security, and they've got spies. I've got family in the country. There's now spies going around asking questions about loyalty. Anybody that talks bad about Obama, they get government visits.
Yeah, well, the main thing that's happening there is everybody heard the news briefs that we went through about the cattle where they're identified and they're being taxed because of cow flatulence.
Yes.
Okay. This carbon footprint type of stuff. Well, what's happening if they identify where the food comes from and what grocery store shipped it out? What do you think the objective is if they have a recall? Now, look at the number of recalls we've had on our food over the last year. It's been absolutely insane.
It's all about fear for a federal takeover, which they admit. Listen, we've got to end this hour. We're going to do a whole hour tonight on the Nightly News. The secrets of the food industry, the secrets of what's coming up. I mean, we've only covered about a third of this. Folks, if you do want to get storable food, I push you in the right direction. Great prices, great people, great quality, the biggest selection. They've got it all. Just go check it out, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. If you want to find the specials or just give them a call, 800-409-5633. We need the Patriots, if things get really bad, to be prepared. And look which direction it's going in. And I hope everything turns out okay and you can just eat your food. Because, by the way, most companies count on you never eating it. They make it where it's tasty and good, I should add. So again, 800-409-5633. They've also got a deal on the site to get some free samples. They want you to try out their food.
Have them get on your site.
All right, we'll do it.
Get on your site.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.